Hey, you want that to go?
That's right. Takeout this morning, and sitting here at the counter, Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and Ibrahim Abdelmateen, takeaway sports contributor.
Good morning
to both of you. Let's begin with you, Louise. I seem to remember back in 2003, Paul Wolfowitz describing that the invasion of Iraq might have some business benefits for American companies, in that once we get this little invasion out of the way, there will be all kinds of business opportunities. Your colleagues at the Times have been taking a look at the track record of getting American company contracts inside Iraq. How are we doing on that?
Not very well. So even though Iraqi imports have gone up significantly, they've more than doubled since 08, the amount that's coming from American companies is staying flat. One of the examples in the story I thought was the most interesting is FedEx. So, you know, FedEx braved all of the dangers, flew into the red zone, one of the places that most businesses avoided, and just last month, they have suspended their business there because the Iraqi government gave a huge contract to a Russian shipping company rather than FedEx.
And, and if there's anything you probably don't want to do in Iraq, it's drive around a lot and fly into the airport continually. And FedEx did that. And they're rewarded by having to compete with a Russian
company. And then, of course, you know, everyone talked about oil, you know, what might happen with oil. And Exxon, which is a big American oil company, is still waiting on a service contract they've been trying to get. So it's really not a lot of success. And if you think about it, Americans there are the occupier. There is huge anti-American feeling. And so the business instead is going to companies from Turkey. And if you recall, Turkey would not even let the U.S. use its air bases.
Right, in Incirlik, sure. Is this about the U.S. government deliberately downplaying the U.S. companies to try to make it look good, like it's not manipulating the situation? Or is it the restoration of the status quo before the war, where Russia was the big player in Iraq?
It may be part of that. And the other thing is the security costs there. You know, American companies are looking at how much they'd have to pay to be secure in doing businesses there. I think this is one of those situations where it's a bit kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because, you know, if there was a ton of American businesses getting money there, I think that my colleagues at the time would also write a story about how, oh my gosh, America's colonizing Iraq. So it could go either way.
You all ready for next week, Louise?
I'm ready.
Super Freakonomics Week. Dubner's going to be here. We're going to have you in all week talking about the Super Freakonomics. It's a way of looking at the world. Thanks, Louise.
Thanks.
Now to sports with the takeaway.
Freakonomics.
Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdelmateen. So, Ibrahim, you called it in last night's game between the 49ers and the Chicago Bears. You said the 49ers were going to pull it out, and they did. They won 10-6. What happened?
Well, basically what happened is that the Chicago Bears defense came to play, but the San Francisco 49ers defense really came to play and took five picks away from quarterback Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler basically looked very weak in his passing game. He's one of the best passers in the league, but he threw five interceptions.
Yeah, not a good game
for him. Both teams looked like the Pee Wee League, I tell you. That was not a good game.
We have at least one huge game coming up this weekend. This is one that everyone's going to be watching. That's between the Colts, who are undefeated, and the Patriots. This is the big game of the weekend,
isn't
it?
This is the big game. It's a Sunday night game. So the last time that the Patriots were in the Super Bowl was 2008. They ran into an undefeated pass rush of the Giants. They were undefeated, and they ran into the pass rush of the Giants, and then they got stopped. Well, that season, they played the undefeated Indianapolis Colts, and they prevailed. Now, fast forward to 2009, the Patriots are more down to earth, but they have Brady, who's thrown for at least 300 yards in three consecutive games. Their running back, Lawrence Maroney, has a rushing touchdown in three consecutive games, so they're playing like it's 2007. Now, the Colts, on the other hand, Peyton Manning has thrown 297 touchdown passes in this decade, and Brett Favre in the 90s had 235. Peyton Manning is on pace to be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So they come together. The real game changer in this one is Dwight Freeney. He's the defensive end for the Indianapolis Colts. He has a sack in at least every game this season. So the pressure on Tom Brady, I think, is going to be the difference. It's going to be a lower scoring game, and I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to pull it out.
You think they're going to remain undefeated?
You think the Colts are going to win it?
Yes.
Yep, Colts are going to win it. Interesting.
Because of the pass rush. That's
why. All right, we shall see. Well, we're going to add to our takeouts this morning one of your colleagues, Louise Story. Kate Zernike joins us, New York Times national correspondent. Good morning, Kate.
Morning.
So the Sarah Palin book comes out, right?
Tuesday.
And this is the first sitting governor, it seems, in American history to resign in order to spend more time with her ghostwriter. Is that correct?
Exactly.
All right. So what hints are we getting from the book here so far?
You know, so far it looks like the big story in the book is something that we pretty much knew already, which is that the McCain people and the Palin people really didn't get along.
Right.
The biggest sort of most tantalizing new detail seems to be that the McCain campaign stuck her with a $500,000 legal bill at the end of the thing. And she asked for a little help paying it, and they said, well, if we'd won, we would have paid it, but we lost, so you're stuck with
it. That's her side of the story. They say they never heard anything about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or they could write their own book now, can't they? What does she say about some of these moments that became part of popular culture, like the interview with Katie Couric?
Well, she says Katie Couric was biased. And the interesting thing about Katie Couric is she said she did the interview initially because she felt sorry for Katie Couric because Nicole Wallace, who's one of McCain's top people, who I believe had worked for Couric, said that Couric had low self-esteem. So Sarah said she felt sorry for Katie and did the interview for that reason.
So the book is called Going Rogue. And,
Going Rogue.
You know, these books are either rollouts for some sort of campaign or a kind of attempt to be confessional and to be forgiven for lapses of the past. Which is this?
You know, it's unclear. She apparently told Oprah that she, or did not rule out with Oprah that that she might want a TV show of her own. I mean, the question for Palin has been, is she going to run a campaign or is she going to do something like that, be her media superstar?
Any insight into her very interesting family?
I think we're going to get some insight apparently she was not, the McCain campaign sort of put out a press release about her daughter's pregnancy. She felt that glamorized it. So maybe we'll get a little more insight about her feelings about that.
Well, she's on Oprah next week. The book comes out on Tuesday. Kate Zernike, New York Times national correspondent. Thanks for that takeout.
Sure.
So this is our theme song for Sarah Palin here on the program. Louise, you like it?
It's, I don't think I listen to it a lot. I'll leave it to you guys.
We should have Sarah Palin on, I think.
Singing?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll book her.
Talk about business.
Get to work on that, guys. Bob Dylan on The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.